Rupert Murdoch's newspapers usually ask the questions. Now Murdoch himself is providing answers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. News Corporation CEO Rupert Murdoch and his son, James, are testifying at this hour before members of the British Parliament, recounting what they remember about the scandal that's enveloped a lot of the News Corp media empire.
I would just like to say one sentence. This is the most humble day of my life.
The testimony is the latest in a phone hacking scandal that's seen a criminal investigation, high-level resignations, and the News of the World tabloid newspaper shut down. Well, here in the U.S., the practice of robo-signing mortgage documents is still going on, months after banks and lenders said they would stop the practice of signing foreclosure documents they hadn't read or using fake signatures on those documents. In an Associated Press story today, county officials from three states say they've received thousands of questionable signatures. Well, Pallavi Gogoi is a business writer for the Associated Press, and she's with us now. Hi, Pallavi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Robo-signing got a lot of banks into a lot of trouble last fall, many of them stopping all the foreclosure proceedings while they sorted that problem out. But it's still going on?
Apparently, they never sorted the problem out. Land record offices around the country are now discovering that basically the paperwork that's been filed even after foreclosures are stopped continue to have robo-signed signatures on them.
What does this say to you, Pallavi, about the housing situation in this country?
Everybody knows that foreclosures is a huge issue. It's, you know, if you have a foreclosure on your street, it brings down the housing prices. If you have robo-signing, regular people with regular homes might have documents that have been signed by robo-signers. So you have a question on whether that document is valid or invalid. And that is the question that's being raised by these local officials in these various counties around the country.
How widespread a problem is this?
From our analysis and from what we have seen, we have only looked at a handful of counties. And this is in Michigan, North Carolina, Massachusetts. We haven't looked at the thousands of other counties that exist in the country. And I think if there is a broad-scale examination of the documents like these county officials have done, I think it's going to be scary. You know, chances are we're going to see, you know, millions. Now we're coming up with thousands. It's going to be millions. And that's the scary part.
Pallavi Gogoi with the AP from New York. Pallavi, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The S&P up about 0.75%. The Dow up 105 points, 12,490. Bank of America today posted a bigger-than-expected loss of around $9 billion in its second quarter, thanks to bad or an expensive mortgage-backed security settlement and bad loans. The nation's biggest investment bank, Goldman Sachs, reported a profit of more than $1 billion. A bipartisan group of senators say there could be a plan to cut the nation's deficit while raising the debt limit. But don't pop the champagne yet. Only about half the Senate likes the idea. There's no word if it would even get through the House. Bookstore chain Borders is expected to start liquidating today. The company was supposed to be auctioned off, but no buyers stepped forward. And that liquidation could lead to a lot of empty properties, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
You may think that the demise of Borders would be good for the industry leader, Barnes & Noble. In the long run, it probably is. But Morningstar analyst Peter Wahlstrom says,
it certainly could be short-term pain as you take out the second largest competitor who would be closing 400 stores.
He says consumers might temporarily abandon Amazon and Barnes & Noble as they chase fire sale discounts at Borders. What about the vacant 20,000-square-foot superstores left behind? Some expect Borders real estate could be more attractive than its books. Faith Hope Consolo follows commercial real estate for Prudential Douglas Elliman.
Many of Borders' locations are very well positioned.
She says several furniture and clothing stores are shopping for more space.
Urban Outfitters has been on a mass expansion all over the country.
Perhaps the new tenants could hire the old bookstore workers. About 11,000 Borders employees could lose their jobs. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Well, just like the U.S. stockpiles oil, just in case, China does the same thing with pork. And now Beijing says it's going to release some of its pork reserve onto the market. That's because it's in short supply with all the growth that's going on in China. Prices for pork have jumped by more than half in the last year. From Hong Kong, here's the BBC's Andrew Wood.
The Chinese eat more pork than any other meat. Each of the 1.3 billion people in China consumes on average 100 pounds of pork a year. Patrick Chuvanek is an associate professor at Tsinghua University's School of Economics and Management in Beijing. He says pork is a politically sensitive issue because it affects rich and poor across the country.
People eat pork in almost every region of China as a basic component of their diet. The total population of pigs in China is 400 million. That's quite a lot of pigs.
A year ago, pork prices were falling, and many pigs were slaughtered to stabilize the price. As a result, farmers now can't keep up with demand. The government has 450 million pounds of frozen pork in reserve in massive warehouses. That's only a few days' worth of consumption, though, and not nearly enough to keep inflation under control. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Andrew Wood for Marketplace.
And finally, for dessert, there's a contentious lawsuit over cupcakes, specifically the sweet bits on top of them. Candace Nelson, who owns a chain of cupcake shops called Sprinkles, is suing a Connecticut store called Pink Sprinkles. The suit demands Pink Sprinkles stop using Sprinkles in its name, saying the confusion will damage Sprinkles and injure its reputation. That's what the lawsuit says. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
More than 70 television shows are going to screen their stuff at Comic-Con in San Diego this coming weekend, the big comic convention. And it's not just sci-fi programs fighting for a piece of the pie.
There's something about the nerd fan that you don't get with other fans.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Trekkies and Gleeks unite next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.